going to bring in the newly inducted World Golf Hall of Famer, Bob Charles. Bob was the first lefty to win a major of all time. He was the first New Zealander to win a major of all time. And now he's the first lefty and the first New Zealander in the World Golf Hall of Fame. Bob Charles joins us now. Bob, good morning to you. Thank you for spending a couple of minutes with us today.
Good morning, and thank you.
Well, how does that sound? World Golf Hall of Famer Bob Charles, this must be a great week in your life.
Well, it was indeed, yes. My wife and I, well, the whole family, actually, my son David and his family were there, and my daughter from London, and we really had a great time at the induction ceremony, yes.
Bob, just going through your massive golf resume, first left-hander to win a major, first left-hander, I believe, in the World Golf Hall of Fame. There's plenty of good left-handed golfers right now, Phil Mickelson, Mike Weir, Steve Fletcher. There's a fair amount on the PGA Tour, actually, and some of those guys have won majors now themselves. But back in the early 60s, it was almost an anomaly to have a left-handed golfer. And I can't imagine some of the obstacles you faced in terms of getting good equipment and those types of things. How difficult was it in that age or growing up to be a left-handed golfer and be competitive in golf?
Well, I didn't consider it an obstacle. It was a challenge. A lot of people say that golf courses were built for right-handed golfers and not for left-handers, but I disagree with that. I think that pin placements and they balance out left to right holes, right to left holes. The only thing was the equipment, yes. There was certainly not the choice available for left-handed golfers back in the 50s and 60s when I was starting out in the game as there is today. And I know Titleist, well, Wally Ullheim, the CEO, he's being a left-hander. He makes sure that as soon as their right-handed model comes out, the left-hand model follows within a matter of days or weeks rather than it was years back 40, 50 years ago.
Bob Charles joining us here on the line, the first left-hander and New Zealander to win a major and be inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. Bob, you turned professional back in 1960 and you had the six PGA Tour victories, including that 1963 British Open. Is that British Open victory in 63 kind of the highlight of your career?
Well, yes. As far as my golfing career goes, that certainly is. Anytime you win a major, it takes precedence over any other tournament win. I came close in PGA. I finished second to Julius Boris and finished second to Gary Player and Tony Jacklin in the Open Championship. Had a couple of thirds in the US Open to Tony Jacklin at Chaska. And I had a bunch of top five finishes and majors, and pretty happy with that.
Bob, your victory in 63 at Lytham, it wasn't easy, for sure. You had to go 72 holes, and then you had to go through a 36-hole playoff, and you defeated Phil Rogers. Take us through that. I mean, that must have been an exhausting week.
Well, of course, I was young then, so I didn't feel exhausted at all. Probably took its toll on Phil Rogers more than it took toll on me, but yes, we in those days, we played the first round of the Open Championship on a Wednesday. The second round was on the Thursday, 36-hole final day Friday, and of course we went into Saturday for the 36-hole playoff. So it's 108 holes in just, 4 days, was it? Yes. Unfortunately, I didn't have to qualify. I was an exempt player that year, but there was qualifying, which I imagine was probably on the Monday, Tuesday.
Bob Charles joining us here on the line. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. Bob, you mentioned coming in behind Tony Jacklin in a number of majors during your career, and Tony was introduced you at the World Golf Hall of Fame induction ceremony 6 days ago in St. Augustine. It seems like the two of you are very close friends.
Oh, well, yeah, we go back 45 years, as I said in my little speech on the evening of the induction, that I finished second to Tony in his first major win in 1969 at Royal Lytham and St. Anne's, and said that I'm the one that made him famous.
Hey, Bob, when you were sort of in the prime of your career in the mid-60s and late 60s, another guy, Jack Nicklaus, was getting his career cranked up. What was it like being around Jack Nicklaus at that time, not just for yourself but other golfers? Did they kind of realize that he was going to be as good as he ended up being?
Well, yeah, my career was somewhat overshadowed by the big three, of course, Gary Player, Arnold Palmer, and Jack Nicklaus, and took great pleasure in the odd occasion that I beat them, and of course, Jack would say that the 63 Open at Royal Edmonton Ands was the one which he let get away because he bogeyed the last two holes and missed the playoff by a shot. Of course, I don't think Jack has won the Canadian Open, and I beat him, and we were playing together, actually, and I denied Jack a Canadian Open there, but they were the men to beat, obviously, whenever they're all playing in a tournament.
Bob Charles joining us on the line, the New Zealander left-hander, first left-hander ever inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame just 6 days ago in St. Augustine, joining a class of five others in the class of 2008 World Golf Hall of Fame. Bob, another member of your Hall of Fame class was Pete Dye. I'm curious your thoughts on Pete as an architect and some of the courses that he's designed, perhaps, that maybe you've played throughout your career.
Well, the first Pete Dye course I played would have been Harbortown, which I think he did together with Jack Nicklaus, if memory serves me right. I suppose the TPC at Sawgrass was in the second course. I played a few others. I haven't played Whistling Straits. I played the Indianapolis course, which he inside the racetrack there, which he redid. And he's certainly demanding, heavily bunkered. I think he was the first one that came in with these waste bunkers, which he did so well at the TPC at Sawgrass. So his golf course is always demanding, certainly for the professional golfer. And I think it took a number of years before the touring pros really accepted the TPC. I think they were kind of in a state of shock when they first went there and saw what Pete had come up with, but they really acknowledge not only his golf courses but the man himself. So he's right up there with Trent Jones Sr. and Alistair McKenzie and Donald Ross, and he's the most recent golf course architect.
You shot your age 11 out of 12 rounds this past year on the Champions Tour, 72 years of age, and you shot 72 or better 11 of 12 rounds. So you're still competitive, but moving into some other parts of your career, do you design courses yourself?
Only in New Zealand. I've been involved in four courses in New Zealand. It's a little bit of a hobby, I suppose. I certainly wouldn't want to get into it as a business full time. I've got my farm back home in New Zealand, which keeps me pretty busy. So being involved part-time, I have a team down there, and to be involved with the team in golf course construction is a challenge and good fun.
He turned professional way back in 1960. He won six times on the PGA Tour, including the 1963 British Open, 23 more Champions Tour victories over the years, and 24 other worldwide victories. Bob Charles, part of the World Golf Hall of Fame class of 2008, the first New Zealander, first left-hander in the Hall of Fame. Bob, congratulations to you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Enjoyed visiting with you.
And Pat, you know, Bob Charles is somewhat of a trailblazer. Nowadays, we have a bunch of lefties on tour. Phil Mickelson, Mike Weir, Steve Flesch, and, you know, equipment that the lefties can get, just as good as equipment that the righties can get. But back then, you know, 40, 45 years ago, Bob Charles was the only lefty on tour. He really set the stage for left-handers and, for that matter, New Zealanders as well. He was really the only guy from New Zealand playing at that level in the world of golf.
And I don't think those were the days, Russ, where you could call up Ping or Callaway or something and say, hey, ship me a 9-iron. I broke it. I think if Bob Charles had a problem with one of his clubs, it might take him months to get a replacement for that. So, I mean, some of the stuff like you're talking about, trailblazers, some of the stuff he had to overcome being a left-hander in terms of getting proper equipment, I think makes his accomplishments even more so, because he had to overcome obstacles that a lot of those other guys didn't have to overcome.